Hello and good afternoon or good evening. This is the Common Sense American again, and I am starting season two. This is the first episode of the second season. I recently passed 5,000 total listens for my podcast, which is not a very big number. I only do this sort of on the side when I can, but I certainly appreciate everybody who lends an ear. And to kick off the second season, I'm adding a Facebook page. I'm closing in on 10,000 followers on Twitter. Again, thank you very much. But if you would be so kind as to like and or follow the Facebook page to help get it off the ground, that would be great. I don't really know much about social media, so I just sort of fumble my way through and hope that I can bring my voice to as many people as possible. And also, in the spirit of the holidays, I would like to do this show to sort of bring people together in a way that I don't know. Everyone, I think, knows what the problem is, but they don't want to say it or they don't want to try it, or we're too embroiled in scandals and impeachment insanity and all this to really get at the heart of the matter. Last week, I did a show about why so many liberals seem to really hate this holiday season, and I think that comes as a surprise to some that they've never come across people who really actually dislike or even loathe the holiday season. But living in a liberal state as I do, trust me, I have come across them, and they are scary individuals. It harkens back to the show I did on why liberals are so miserable. These people are miserable and nasty, and no, they don't like this season, and for a million reasons, none of which are even close to rational. They want Christmas to go away, over-commercialized, too much emphasis, on Christianity, white people bad, white Christians bad, the whole thing. But I think that has led me to this week, which is, I'm not pulling a 180. I'm still saying that that is a problem, that we do have people out there that are literally condemning the holidays and saying, I don't want any part of it, and for racist reasons, whatever other ridiculousness they can come up with. But I am saying that this is once again a sign of the direction we are heading. And the very first podcast I did was what would happen if there was another civil war and who would win and why. I don't, you can go listen to that if you want. Again, it's the first one I ever did. It speaks to the lack of drive and discipline and ambition and any sort of productivity on the side of liberals is causing a big problem, and why they'd probably lose. They'd sit there having meetings while, we actually did something. But rather than focus on the bad, which would be another civil war, which would be absolutely horrendous, and we really can't allow to happen, especially in this day and age when it would no longer be several thousand people fighting with, rifles and cannons, but millions and with, awful, awful, awful weapons, nuclear weapons and bombs. And the country, I don't think, would survive. I really don't. I don't think anybody wants that. I really don't. However, we are heading for inevitable conflict if something doesn't change. And I think that one thing that needs to change, and I believe both sides will agree with this, is that somehow, some way, we have got to find a way to talk to each other again. I don't know at what point or where along the way that that has become a seeming impossibility. It no longer seems plausible to hold a civil, productive discussion and/or argument with anybody with contrasting political or social views. It really doesn't, at least from my view. Now, again, I am in a largely liberal state, so it may seem sort of hopeless to me in that I constantly encounter people who are so closed off that, I don't feel I could talk to them in any possible way. They allow for no other ways of thinking. They have allowed the media, they have allowed their so-called leaders to drill something into their heads that is not considered an opinion by them. It is considered a fact. We are the secondary citizens. We are the lower class. We should be treated as such. We are the ignorant. We are the uneducated. We should be taught how to live. And they are absolutely in the right. This is no longer, as far as they're concerned, a difference of opinion. And what has happened? That has resulted in those of us more on the right side pushing back and sort of having the same reaction, which is us saying, you know what? No, this isn't an opinion on our side either. We're the ones in the right. You're all nuts. And it has this level of hostility has created a gap between the two sides that just keeps growing. And this gap is leading to this sort of abyss into which all rationale, civility, common sense, it's all falling into it. And the only thing that's left are two sides screaming at each other. And now, again, this is from my perspective, and I want liberals to understand this. My perspective is this. I'm not saying it's the way things are, but it is the way I see it, and it is the way millions of people who disagree with you see it. We see you as being hugely argumentative and hostile and just plain nasty. You have no interest in listening to what we have to say. You just shout everybody down. In your minds, if we disagree, your answer is apparently just to take a bat to their heads or silence them. Either way, we don't count. Either way, we're just bad. And you don't even really have an explanation anymore as to why. The only words that come, you know, flying out of your frothing, foaming mouths are racist and, you know, I don't know. Is there anything else? Do you have anything else besides racism at this point? I don't know. There's something else. Oh, imperialism. That's a big one for America. Although I will say, and let me just throw this in here, that one of the biggest problems and one of the reasons why this gap exists is because leftists started confusing patriotism with imperialism. In their eyes, that's one and the same. Then the downward slope kicks in where everybody who's white is a racist. Everybody who follows Trump is a racist. Trump is a racist. And eventually it becomes blanket statements everywhere. You know, and I don't want to believe that every liberal is nasty and every Democrat is a lying sack of crap who will basically just do everything that they can to get into power and everything they can to get into control. They want big government. They don't want less government. They want to be in your face every second of the day. They want individual freedoms to disappear. And they want basically, I mean, that poll that said where 50% of the country believes that the First Amendment must either be repealed or altered in some way. You can't repeal it, you can't alter it. Altering it basically would be, you know, erasing it. And remember, they want to alter it in their way, their rules. We've already seen this in other parts of the world. We've seen it in parts of England, for example, where freedom of speech isn't a real thing anymore. You really can't say certain things, or you will actually literally be fined for it. Now, this is starting to happen everywhere, and that is not freedom of anything. That's fascism. Now, why anybody would want this, why anybody would support it is just beyond me. This is more mind-boggling is that this is coming from the party where they're supposed to be all for this. This is what they were fighting for in the late 60s, which was, you know, against Big Brother, against big government. Suddenly they're all for it. Suddenly they're all for adding more and more government power and rules and restrictions. They want to take all that away. And why? Because that would enable them to have even more control and produce a world that they envision, that they believe is correct, and it doesn't matter what we say. And so on our side, we feel like we're shouting at nothing, right? Because we can't be civil, because we can't discuss anything with these people, the only thing left to do is to shout back or be quiet. It's sort of like dealing with animals at this point. You can't deal with them on a rational basis. There's no intelligence to be found because they're just parroting back what they're hearing. They're not doing any of their own research. They're not using their own brains. They honestly believe that the media is actually telling them flat-out truths that should not be questioned. Again, a complete difference from the way things used to be on the Democrat side. Their whole thing was questioning authority. Now, they don't question anything. They don't question journalists. They don't question doctors. They don't question anything. Anybody who's in a position of authority, they believe 100%. They don't do their own research. It's amazing to me. I was in the media. I was a journalist, a freelance journalist for several years. I still am, although in a different way, for the so-called alternative media, I suppose you could call it. But I've seen both sides of it. I know what it entails. And let me tell you something. If you believe that modern-day journalism is about telling you the truth and nothing but the truth, you're just too naive to chew your own food, all right? The manipulation is there. It's obvious. It's evident. The agenda is there. The tabloid sensationalism is there. They don't want to present you with the facts. They want to present you with a story that appeals to your emotion, not to your brain. That's why they, you know, spread the kids in cages thing all over the place, because they could get a lot of emotional play out of it. It wasn't even close to accurate. The cages had nothing to do with the Trump administration, but facts and reality didn't matter because they were able to push the emotion of it. They can get people all enraged about it and Hollywood go crazy, as if those people are pundits for any reason, right? They're just poster children for the blatantly ignorant and absolutely hostile and classless. And in the end, what we're stuck with are two sides. One side that actually believes this crap, and the other side that knows that a lot of this should not be believed. And we have plenty of evidence. How many times must a story be retracted? How many times must a source apologize? A newspaper fire somebody or demote somebody for spreading the wrong message? Why does that get missed by the leftist side? Why do they gloss over that? That happens every damn week or every month. Happens constantly. At what point do you start to question that authority if that keeps happening? How many Democrats in office must be arrested for something disgusting before you start to question the so-called integrity of your own party? And these are the questions that we all have, especially on the right. We don't understand why we can't talk to people. Now, again, this is my perspective. What if, and I think this might be true, if you look at the other side, you talk to the people who aren't quite as insane, maybe they're moderate leftists, I believe that you're going to find the same thing. You're going to find them saying, why can't we talk to them? They're just shouting at us. All they do is yell and scream. And I think, you know, I have encountered people on the right, especially, you know, on the far right, who that's kind of what they do. They do it on social media. That's how they respond to everything. They don't really look enough for the facts and you know, dive into the truth of it. They just freak out and slam liberals and Democrats. And that is not what we should be doing. That's only playing right into their hand. And I said this some time ago when I did a podcast as to, you know, the things conservatives are doing that are actually helping the left, and we need to stop doing it. And one of them is playing their game. Their game is all about emotion and fascism and shouting the other people down. We should not sink to that level. We should be using the facts and the truth as much as we can. And if it's against us, if it's against Republicans, or if it happens to be against Trump, then so be it. We still need to be on the side of right. We need to be on the side of facts. We need to be on the side of civility and discussion. That's what we need to have. Maybe if enough of us are on that side, we can get some form of conversation going again, because maybe that will result in people on the left doing the same thing, scaling the insanity back a little bit, saying, okay, let's at least talk a little before somebody takes out a knife. Now, the problem is because this gap is so big, it almost seems that the fundamental differences between the two sides are so big, it almost seems like you're dealing with a different species. It's not even a different side anymore. It's not even different political and social views. It really is like, and I've had this experience where you talk to somebody who's so much on the opposite end of the spectrum, where you don't even understand how they're using their minds. You don't even understand their thought processes for some of this. You talk to them and you hear what they say and you go, how could you possibly believe that? How does that make any sense at all? Where is the logic? Where are the facts? Where is the common sense? I don't understand. None of that makes sense to me. I don't get it. Okay? Rarely can I say, okay, so I sort of see your point. Here's my side. My reaction is usually, what the hell is wrong with you? Now, maybe that's wrong. I don't want to insult them, and I don't want to come across as being argumentative and close-minded, because that's how they come across to me. I'm so confused, I don't know where to start. And I have a feeling that that is also the way they feel. They have to. So if we've got two sides this far apart, and we can find no way to come together in some form of civil discourse, we are headed towards some sort of conflict, and I'm not sure what it is. I almost don't think it can be civil war. It would probably result in some sort of mass exodus of one side or the other, and eventually you're just going to be left with, you know, one ruling class, and I think that would depend on, you know, obviously which, you know, government stays in power the longest. I guess if Trump stays there long enough, maybe liberals will start to leave. However, we've seen in the past that they'll threaten to leave and they never go anywhere because they know, just like everyone else, that they've got it better here than anywhere else on the planet, that they have the media on their side, they have Hollywood on their side, they have a lot of power even when the guy in the White House isn't on their side. They know it. So they're not going anywhere. We, however, might. And because, again, we feel like we're fighting against powers that are, we just can't deal with them. There's nothing we can do. We feel like we're not only, basically I would use the word hopeless. I mean, that's a bad word to use. But we sort of feel that way, helpless, that we can do nothing against this tide except fight back and fight back in a violent way. I don't want that to happen. I have no interest in having that happen. That will produce nothing but more misery and darkness. And eventually we'll have to rebuild. Now, we're going to have to rebuild anyway, based on everything that's happened and the decline that this country has been in. Liberals don't want to admit it, but we're seeing it everywhere, especially in the education realm. We're seeing the result of taking away the emphasis on individual achievement. When we stop focusing and emphasizing achievement and accomplishments and pride and discipline and ambition, and we take that away, and we start focusing only on emotion and sensitivity, and that's it, which is what Ayn Rand warned of many decades ago, you are going to find a hugely unproductive populace that is basically useless. We're finding that, you know, people who graduate from high school are totally incompetent, and the test scores are just getting lower. They have to drop the SAT scores again to get people into college. They're just lowering the bar over and over and over. Lower the bar, lower the bar, lower the bar. That is what has been happening over the past 50 or 60 years, and it's now reached a point where we can't compete on any level. And this is the Democrat doing. Oh, yes, it is. They have been in control of education. They have been in control of entertainment. They've been in control of everything that sort of comes at us on a daily basis, and this is the result. It is not working. We see that it is not working. We have all kinds of problems, mentally and physically, as a result of the It's Okay movement. It's okay if you want to eat yourself into a coma. It's okay if you don't get an A on your paper. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. That has resulted in this. Now, am I saying that we need more structure and more discipline? Do we need to return to a moral society? Should we be closer to some of the tenets and beliefs of the 50s and 40s and 50s? Yes, I do believe that. Should we be going back to a time when obviously racism was still a problem? No, I don't. I think we have made progress, but now we're going in the other direction. You're causing more racial division by going after specifically white people and white males. That is just more racism. That is not helping. So we are at odds in so many different ways, and that is causing the rift to be as wide as it is. And we need to do something. Now, I'm not sure what it is. I'm not proposing a solution because I honestly don't know. When we're this far apart on everything, you know, and everybody I come in contact with seems completely closed off, closed-minded to anything I have to say. They're not even gonna listen. Forget anything else. They're not going to listen. And if I try and insist, they'll just freak out and probably attack. That is an animal. That's not a human being. That is my view of it. Are they thinking the same thing about me? I don't know. It doesn't seem like they could based on their actions, but who knows? How would I know, considering that you don't seem to use your brain and you won't talk? Okay? You need to talk and not make constant insinuations about my intelligence or my racial beliefs. Stop. Use your brain. That's all I want to hear. I want to hear educated thoughts come out of you. I want to hear thoughts that came from a mind that's working, that tried to sort through this problem. I want to hear your ideas. I don't want to hear any more of the hostility and insanity. That's got to stop on both sides. We both need to take responsibility for this. But again, in my eyes, it does seem like it's coming more from the left, that they're the ones who created this. I don't know what else to say. You think I'm wrong? Then come at me with something different, something that tells me that you have a functioning brain. Anything, please. That way, maybe we can start healing. It's the only way to avoid this oncoming conflict, whatever it is, or just endless conflict. And I really think that's what needs to happen. That's the one thing we all need to do. I know 2020 is an election year and the division will probably only increase, but maybe that's an opportunity for us to talk a little bit more. I don't know. If you have any ideas, feel free to let me know. In the meantime, that will do it for today. I like to keep these relatively brief. I know a lot of podcasts go hour, hour and a half. I think 20 minutes is okay, especially when I don't have guests. It's usually just me. Again, please, you know, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, all those things. If you have suggestions for shows you want me to do or subjects you want me to tackle, by all means, let me know. And happy holidays to everybody. Merry Christmas. And I will see you again next week. Thank you.